feeling of family that we can, you feel free to be able to stand up and share what God is doing in your life. So well done, and thank you very much for the invitation, and it's a great privilege to share the Word of God with you. Some years ago, Jill and I stood on the place in Israel where they think that Jesus preached, sitting in a boat. And as he told the story of the sower, and the field that this is, that was supposed to be where Jesus, where the sower was working, I looked at it and compared it with some of the South African fields that I know, and this field was mainly rocks, and a little bit like the soil, basically rocks with a bit of soil in between, a little bit like the rocky hill slopes of Gordon's Bay or Cape Town. It's, you just see rocks and with a couple of shrubs in between. And in some places in where we were supposed to, we were standing, they'd cleared the rocks and made walls out of them, or they'd piled these rocks in the middle of the field. And apparently the guy would clear whatever vegetation there was and then just throw the seeds out, and as he sowed the seed. And so as he threw these seeds at broadcast them, there was no ways that you could get a tractor on there or anything like that, or even plow with oxen. This chap would just go and throw the seeds out as evenly as possible. And just thinking about this idea, the concept of that, this thought that one of the main purposes for us as Christians is to spread the good news of Jesus. And we see evangelists preaching to thousands of people. We see missionaries who've worked for years and years and years overseas and only got one person saved. And then we are also told that we are the light in the society in which we live. We've just got to live according to the principles of Jesus. And then authors also use books and tracts and pamphlets to spread the good news. And so there in Jesus sitting in the boat, there's the crowd on the shore just nearby, and he told this story. And we know a little bit about the story. Most of us know that story. And I won't read it. It's just, it's in Matthew 13, 19 to 23. And one can picture him looking at a farmer actually doing this while the crowd was sitting there. You could imagine yourself being there, perhaps quite a few people, maybe 1,000 folk sitting quietly by the shore. That sort of hum that you normally get in a crowd, maybe an odd baby crying. But perhaps there was a guy actually doing this nearby. And we know the story that as this chap throws the seed out, some lands on the hard path or on a stone. And the birds come down and pick it up and off it goes. That seed doesn't even have a chance at all. And then other bits of the seed get into stony ground with very shallow soil, maybe a little bit of soil just on top of a stone. The little seed comes up, all very excited, and then the sun comes down and it withers away. And then the other seed is the weeds come up and choke it, and because there's no roots, it dies. And then he talks about the good seed that lands and it reproduces itself. And then Jesus stops there. And the disciples say, And now, you know, here's this guy told a story about seed being sown. What does that mean? And just picture yourself to be in that crowd hearing this story for the very first time. And you sort of wonder, what does that mean? And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is, and then he told the story. And you think of these disciples scratching their heads and saying afterwards, Jesus, tell me a little bit about this. What was that all about? So, Jesus then, we just turn to Matthew 19 to 23, and he explains that the word, or that seed, is the word of the kingdom. The seed is the word of the kingdom. And I ask the question, what is the word of the kingdom? What is the word of the kingdom that we as Christians are supposed to be sowing all around us? And we looked at this in our Bible study, and we were just trying to work out, what is Jesus expecting us to do every day as spreading the word around us? And basically we concluded that the word is the good news, is the gospel of Jesus. Yes, it could be summed up in four spiritual laws. It could be God loves you. It could be that we have sinned and Jesus provided a bridge for us to get back to God if we accept him as our Lord and Savior. That's four spiritual laws. The good news could be God loves you. The good news could be Jesus died for your sin. Jesus loves you. The good news could be accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and follow him. And those could be bits of good news that are sown over a period of time. And so that is the definition, perhaps, of the word of the kingdom. Then we look at verse 19, and we ask, what is this word that is sown onto the hard path that the birds come and pick up? What's happening there? What is a word that is preached but is not understood? That person seems to be wasting their time. Under what circumstances can the word be preached and it just can be stolen like that so quickly? Well, maybe it could be that the person who's speaking the word is speaking in a language or at an intellectual level that folk don't understand. Maybe he's using or she's using a whole lot of spiritual jargon that the person has no idea what they're talking about. Maybe it's a sermon in Latin, which everybody just sits there and shrugs their shoulders. It could be perhaps being very badly interpreted. My Uncle Thomas Allwood, was a missionary from England. And he used to preach in this Griqualand. And Mount Aleph and Mount Freer and all those areas. He came out as an Englishman. And he went on horseback from hut to hut in that area in the 1920s. And he would preach the gospel. He had an interpreter with him. But he had taught this guy to speak English, and then he used him as an interpreter. And I've wondered what gospel those people in those huts actually heard, as Uncle Thomas in his beautiful Queen's English read out of the King James Version and given to a guy to interpret in his best Xhosa or his best Bata to the people. Now, was that perhaps the word that was taken away and stolen? And then, so the solution for us, if we're talking about spreading the word, hey, keep it simple. That's really important. That whatever we say, let's keep it simple. Jesus loves you. God loves you. You know. The second one is the rocky ground. The shallow soil. Received with joy, crowds. And you see these at these massive rallies. Wonderful, wonderful hype of the Holy Spirit. People slain in the Spirit. Man, lots of folk being healed. And they all rejoicing, dancing in the Spirit. Great, great testimonies. And then they go home. Each of these folk go home. And the Bible tells us, it talks about the afflictions. The afflictions of home. And you wonder what those afflictions could be that steal the gospel from these folk. Is it sickness? What Jill was talking about a little earlier. Prayers. The preacher said, pray and all your prayers will be answered. And you pray, and nothing happens. Or maybe it could be an unhappy home. Going back and suddenly hitting the hard yards that many of us Christians have to walk. It could be rebellious children. My goodness, a rebellious child can make us lose our joy very quickly, can't it? Bad habits. We can revert after the hype of the wonderful meeting that we've been to, getting back into the bad habits that we had fallen into. Maybe it's persecution. Certainly as a youngster at school, when I gave my life to the Lord, my mates were very quick to call me Holy Joe and to be very discouraging. Again, unanswered prayers. Yes, the preacher told me, lay hands on the sick, they will be healed. Doesn't happen. Not always. And could be the isolation. Or isolation where there's no fellowship. Go home to that Philistine homestead where there's lots of bickering and hate and bitterness. And that's a very difficult one. Then also Paul talks about hypocritical Christians. Christians who say that they are Christians and then let us down terribly and hurt us so badly. All those things are like these little plants that are growing up and then wither away and the person loses their faith. So what's the solution for us as Christian farmers? We have a responsibility. If we're going to preach the gospel and we're going to lead someone to the Lord, we must make sure that that little plant grows. The evangelists very often come in and thousands of people are being saved. But what happens then? Who takes the responsibility? And any pastor will tell you, those are the hard yards. Those are the discipling people, helping them get through all these glitches. And then in verse 22, it talks about the thorns that come up. And the thorns are the worries of the world. The worries, how can the worries lead us away from the kingdom? Well, perhaps again, prayers not being answered. Maybe too much time is spent on other things. Maybe we allow our fears to get hold of us. All we need to do is to listen to the bad news that has been thrown at us every day. Pessimism creeping in. And depressing circumstances. We've been praying for healing. We've been praying for a release. We've been praying for a breakthrough. And this just doesn't happen. And we get discouraged from those things. Those worries are like those thorns that come up. And then also riches is thrown in to that particular formula. And we know that Jesus warned us about riches and how we can be distracted by the busyness and the pleasures. And money can be a jolly, a real threat to Christianity. Money. The love of money can be a real threat because it can replace so many things. And when we're on our knees and we're really praying to God, and we put our trust in Him, but lots of people put their trust in money. What can money give you? Money can give you lots of pleasures and keep you busy and keep you excited and keep you stimulated and always looking for the next thing. And so riches is quite a big threat in terms of our Christian growth. Anything, even good works, anything that replaces our trust in God can be like those weeds that grow up and cover that little seedling, and the little seedling dies. And then lastly, in verse 23, we look at the good soil. The good soil. And we think now, this is the successful Christian. That's the where we, and I hope that most of us are in this category. But what are the requirements for our efforts to spread the good news and to bear good fruit? And what is this deep soil that they're talking about? Well, the deep soil is a place where a Christian can grow. And that's what I would pray over this fellowship here, is it could be a good place for Christians to grow, where there is friendship and where there is fellowship, and where the teaching is good, and there's encouragement. That's what we heard this morning, this encouragement, where there is good worship. And here the worship was really good. Lovely. Just lingering in the presence of God. That's lovely. It's a good place to be. And then the caring in a church. That's the deep soil where a little seed can go in and it can grow. And then they talk about deep roots. And what does that imply? It's the personal growth for you and me. And what are those requirements? To get our roots down deep. And it's a regular quiet time. And that's one of the joys of being retired, is to have an open-ended quiet time each morning. That's really, really wonderful. All through the years of my working years, my quiet time sort of had to have a very definite beginning and end. But as in my retirement, I've been able to keep that quiet time open. And if it goes on for an hour, well, praise the Lord. But a quiet time is desperately important for each one of us as Christians. And then a really good daily reading, Bible reading book. A commentary that goes with your Bible reading. A sort of an explanation, a thought for the day. A motivation to keep you going. That's really good to help us put down those deep roots. And then close Christian friends. Incredibly important to have Christian friends that you can regularly get together with and have fun with, whatever it happens to be. Just having those close Christian friends, that helps us get our roots down. And then praying with others and learning from each other, walking in humility and being able to apologize to each other and just help each other through the daily kind of things that we were talking about today, the challenges that we have. And then just in this particular section, for us to, as Christians, to grow, we need to bear fruit. And you think of the corn now growing, or the wheat growing, and then bearing fruit. And we need to be able to see the fruit in our own lives first. And that's in Galatians 5:22. That love, loving and fellowship and goodness and patience and all those things in Galatians 5 that are so important, that we should see those things getting better in our lives. And then, of course, being able to tell other people about Jesus. And then just the last, very last section is, so how do we become successful farmers of the gospel? How do we do this? And I've just got four very brief points. One is be prepared. Be prepared to share your testimony in 5 minutes. Just be ready. Get it, write it down somewhere. Just to be able to share what Jesus means to you. In just very briefly, in a few minutes. And then always be on the lookout for opportunities to share God's love. Maybe it's the petrol attendant, or maybe it's the supermarket cashier. Maybe it's the car guard. Maybe a person sitting next to you in the aeroplane, or maybe in the doctor's rooms, heaven forbid, or in some queue that we're standing in. Go fishing. Go fishing every day. What can I say to this guy that perhaps just find out, where does he stand in the kingdom? Mention Jesus. Mention God. Mention blessings or something like that. That's a kind of a fishing thing. And then it's such a joy when you pick up the fact that this person standing next to you is a Christian. Hey, that's great. And then you can enjoy the... If they're not, if they may be in desperate need, the person, the cashier, may have this terrible, exhausted look on their faces. Just a bit of encouragement. Just want to tell you that Jesus loves you. My son-in-law, Sid, one day, we were standing in a restaurant, and the lady who was serving us behind the counter, we were paying the account, she was enormously pregnant. She looked as if she was about 9.5 months already, and she was sweating, she was feeling the heat, her ankles were swollen. And he just said to her, "My dear, would you mind if I just prayed for you? Would you mind if I just prayed for this little baby?" You know, this lady just burst into tears, and those are the kind of opportunities that is just wonderful to be able to share. The petrol attendant, does he know that you're a Christian? The guy that fills your car up with petrol, the car guard, does he know that you're a Christian? Do you pray for him or her? And then the talents, using your talents. Every single one of us has got talents that God has given us. Each one of us. We've got things, that unique things that belong to us that only we can share. And some people may be teaching and preaching. Some folk have got music. Some folk are really good at visiting sick people. I've been involved in a small extent in the old age places in Howick. And there are two Presbyterian ladies come in, and I go there sometimes and play my guitar with that. And when these two come in, they're like two bright, shining angels. They're quite old angels, but they just come in and they kiss all the patients and they say what a wonderful day it is, and they just bring a little bit of light. And these poor old people just sitting there, you know, in their own world, they just bring in this, and that's all they're doing is just being friendly. That's all they're doing, giving a bit of their time and being friendly. Some people play tennis, some people play bowls, but each time, go fishing, look for those opportunities to just testify what Jesus has done in your life. Not necessarily Bible punching, but just saying, "Hey, you know, I'm just so grateful that I've got hope in this time of depression." And then last point, the quiet time each morning is so important. And ask Jesus for an opportunity to speak to someone each day. Ask room for a place, just in some way in which you can glorify Him. A little encouragement, a good deed, just something that you could do. Maybe it's just a smile or a hand on somebody's shoulder. That's all that God necessarily needs from you each day. And so with these in mind, knowing that we are all farmers and farmers of the gospel, may the Lord bless each one of you as you go into 2018 and you look for opportunities to share the good news and to share Jesus for those around you. And I guarantee that by the end of this year, this venue is going to be too small. There'll be so many people in this lovely fellowship. God bless you. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Vernon, for that word and the encouragement. I think we're all feeling that we are in that season, and so I'm sure that the blessings will follow. Okay, so we'll break now for tea. If anybody would like to pray with Nick and Michelle, please stay behind, and we'll anoint them. Okay, let's close. Father God, thank you for the ministry that's taken place here today. It really is a blessing, Lord, when we have so many people contributing and joining in the worship and the fellowship, because we know that then the body is working. And so we ask you to bless us today as we go out and encourage the folk who want to and who need to stay back and pray for Nick. So we commit this time to you now, Jesus. Be glorified in our lives. Amen.